Sometimes life is more like a stump than a tree, as Pastor Dave Rolfe explains.
Looking forward, do you set yourself up for failure by imagining this awesome life that you've designed for yourself, only to find out that it's not going to be what you thought it was going to be, and now you just feel let down? You can blame other people for it, or you can blame yourself, or you can blame God. But the truth is, it usually doesn't turn out like what you think it will. This is the way it goes. Everything in life is that way.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
As you look at the guy down the hall or the gal next door, maybe their life looks like a big tree and yours like a stump, and you wish you had what they do. Perhaps life isn't what you thought it would be, but it is the one God has given you. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see how to arrive at contentment as we recall an Old Testament prophet's life that certainly could be described as a stump. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe with a few takeaway lessons from Isaiah chapter 6 as we continue through the Bible in stories.
Maybe some of you are at a point where you are at the peak of your profession. You are getting what you've always wanted, and it's everything that you always thought it would be. Just wait. Because it has a way of coming unraveled. And many of you have already known this, where everything you worked for, it either didn't happen or it happened, and now it's gone. Because promises so often result in failure and disappointment. You know, there, for many of you, your economic situation has been that way. There was a time when it was looking good and you felt wealthy. You were kind of on top of the world. I mean, you're a homeowner and you thought that was good until the housing market crashed. You had a job where your job was being a computer guy with those punch cards. You know, and now like 5-year-old kids know more about computers than you do. And you're like, well, I can't believe, you know, this happened. It just happens. It's kind of a lot of times the way life is. If you're married or you've ever been married, before you get married, you have this fantasy that, wow, getting married is just going to be unbelievable. It's really all I want in life, to be married. And you think you know what marriage is like. But if you've been married for a while, or especially if you've been married more than twice, because usually the first marriage, you kind of blame the spouse and you're like, no, I'm going to marry somebody else next time. And then that doesn't work so well either. And you go, whatever happened to those ideas I had of just, you know, we're going to be together forever, the two of us just going through life and not caring about anything but each other. And I can just see us laying on a beach on an island in Mexico in our little chairs, watching the sun go down, drinking our Mexican beer like on the commercials. And it's like, oh yeah, that's what it's going to. And then you get married, you find out it's hard and it's, you know, it's challenging and it almost never is what you thought it was going to be. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm so blessed to be married and I have an amazing wife, but marriage, in the ways in which it's great, I never would have known. And in ways that I thought it might have been, it kind of wasn't after a while. And it's like, wow, I had this tree idea, and now it's like this precious little stump. You know, if you have kids, you know how this works. I mean, that perfect little child. And it's like, oh, it's going to be like, it's my little soulmate. It's my mini me. And then they grow up and they have ideas of their own. And you have dreams for them because your kid's going to have everything you didn't have. And you know what you want them to be. And you know, they, and you're like, they're going to be so successful. They're going to have everything I want. All my life is devoted to them. So you're like forcing them to do their homework when they hate to, but you're just loving them so much. You suffocate them. You spoil them rotten. And they come home with, like, you know, their hair dyed black and all this makeup on, tattoos, and like they just want to sit around and play games on their computer. And you're like, what happened to my little baby? How does this happen? It's just, it can be so disappointing. Because you don't get to plan the way it goes, and it doesn't turn out the way you think it will, then you learn to love what it turns out to be. And you have to do that with every area of life, or you will be hopelessly depressed and miserable. But at some point, no matter what area of life, if you're going to experience all that life has for you, you're going to have to accept the fact that sometimes it looks more like a stump than a tree, but that's your stump. That's, as he says here, the holy seed shall be its stump. So looking forward, do you set yourself up for failure by imagining this awesome life that you've designed for yourself, only to find out that it's not going to be what you thought it was going to be, and now you just feel let down? You can blame other people for it, or you can blame yourself, or you can blame God. But the truth is, it usually doesn't turn out like what you think it will. This is just the way it goes. Everything in life is that way. You've probably had friends that you thought, we are best friends forever. And then they burn you, or they leave you, or they get mad at you. And you're like, some friend you turned out to be. And you don't lose friends. You just find out who your friends really are. But it's painful when you find out, oh, they weren't really a friend like I thought they were. It's like you, and you go from like, together we can conquer the world, to where it's like, hey, where are you? I'm stuck. I'm on my own. And that's kind of the way Isaiah's life sort of went, and God told him in advance. Now, again, this might seem horribly pessimistic to you. And if you're really young and you still haven't figured out that most of your dreams are stupid, I don't want to bum you out. If you want, you can just go, yeah, you know, Dave had jet lag, and I'm sure he must have been horribly depressed the way he was doing. I hope he doesn't kill himself, you know? And if that's what works for you, okay. But I feel fine about this. I really do. Because wisdom is to realize that actually most things that I plan in life aren't going to happen. And if they do, they're not going to be what I thought they were going to be. And I would rather be prepared like Isaiah was and just go, okay, I get it. Sometimes it looks like a tree, and sometimes it looks like a stump. But that's my stump, and that's worth it. Once you figure out that what is left is worth it, as Isaiah had to have, then you're ready to live life. Because the cool thing is, if you understand that, you don't ever have to be afraid. You don't ever have to be dreading losing stuff, because you just know, yep, a lot of what I have is just branches on the tree that are going to blow away. All I want is in the end to have the stump that's my stump. That's who I am. That's what God has for me. That's his plan for me. And that's not a bad thing. Downsizing is a good thing. And again, with Isaiah, he got this in a way that allowed him to relate to Messiah in a way that no other prophet ever had. Or probably ever would. But for all of us, we have that question. And the question is, can you handle the truth, or do you want to live your life with delusions and then a consequent disappointment when it doesn't turn out the way that you think it did? But see, here's another thing. You really have to ask yourself, is the stump worth it? One of my professors in seminary, who was just a really special man, greatest in my mind Old Testament scholar of all times, Charles Feinberg, he's long gone to be with the Lord. But one time when I was young and I was getting frustrated with ministry, I went to him and told him, you know, I'm just really frustrated. And he took me to this passage. And he said, he went through it, and then he goes, David, you just need to understand this. You're not ministering for the tree. You're ministering for the stump. And I'm okay with that. Because ultimately, I just know that's how life is. Whether it's relationships and friends and houses and careers and health and everything else, it's all going to be reduced to something. And to realize all your life that what's left is going to be what matters, that's what you were going for, that's wisdom. And that's what we need to understand. And there's nothing better than to come to the end of your life when all of your delusions have pretty much been evaporated, and to look at what's left and to go, you know what? This was worth it. This was what it was all about. It's why people who are married and grow old together can just get to the point where it's like, wow, we never knew it was going to be like this, but here we are. Here we are. Maybe, you know, maybe we're sitting in wheelchairs, not in beach chairs, but we have each other, and we really have been so blessed. It's not a bad stump that we've lived for. See, there's another thing. You know, when a terebinth tree was a tree that would often be used for, you know, spiritual purposes. A lot of idolatry happened under terebinth trees. They thought there was something supernatural about it. But an awful lot of things with God did too. Abraham met God under a terebinth tree. But with any tree, when a tree becomes a stump, how does that happen? And in fact, a new tree, where does it come from? A new tree comes from seed from another tree. And as a tree grows old and dies, over its lifetime, the wind blows and leaves are stripped and branches fall off and snow or rain wear on that tree. But those seeds are washed down into the ground. Those seeds are blown sometimes miles away. But they land, and some of them become new terebinth trees. Now, this is something that's important for us to understand too, because so often we can look at our lives and go, this is it. And we forget that as our tree turned into a stump, we've had an opportunity to make difference in a lot of people's lives. Now, they may not even remember you. You know, it may be that you've done things for people and they don't even remember your name when they see you on the street. But you know what? A tree that grows doesn't understand that that terebinth tree 5 miles away is my mommy, but it's there. And it wouldn't be there if it had not been for that other tree that was willing to die. And so as we go through life too, when we become reduced, when all the excess gets taken away, we have to understand too, it's not just this stump, but it's everything that my seed has planted. All of the things that I did in my life where my life touched others. Now, you might think, I don't think my life has touched much of anybody. Well, think about it first. How many people have touched your life that don't even know it? That they said something, did something, they were there, and you're like, that person made a difference in my life, but I never got around to telling them about it. They still touched your life. And I guarantee you, there are people out there with whom you have made a significant difference in their life, and maybe you don't know it. But when we are reduced to a stump, let's just not think that all that's left is the stump, because what's left is also the seed. What's left is also what was dispersed and what was planted and what happened as a result of who we are. And that's kind of exciting, actually, to know that, boy, I may not be greatly recognized right here, right now, but I remember There were plenty of times when I know I made a difference for people. And even though they don't even remember it, I got to do that. I got to be a contributor in their lives. Now, again, nobody knows this truth like Jesus, who started out so amazing, and he had all these awesome experiences, thousands of people pressing, knocking people down to try to get to him. And then a cross, a stump. And here he is being tortured and beaten, and he's nailed to a stump of wood, and he's feeling like the Father is even gone. My God, why have you forsaken me? How could he do that? I'll tell you how he did that, because Isaiah tells us, and we'll see more in a couple weeks when we go through Isaiah 53, but there's a key phrase in there. When it's talking about him suffering, it says, he would see his seed. He would prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord would prosper in his hand. He would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. For by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. You know what kept Jesus going on the cross? You know what kept him from just blinking his eyes and going to heaven and leaving all of us heading to hell? He saw you. And he saw me, and he understood that somehow down through the ages, what he did would purchase salvation for people for eternity. And seeing his seed, he said, this is worth the stump. This is worth what I have been reduced to. I mean, we would all rather have a big tree than have a stump. But the truth is, a big tree isn't how God does it. We always get excited when we have these images of, oh, you know, that Christianity is like, look at how many of us there are. Look at, ooh, these big events and these big things. That's what we expect. And sometimes that happens, and it's really fun when it does. But you better remember, most of that tree is actually just going to be blown away. It's not going to be there. A tree is a great religion, and you can start your own religion and make it look very successful. But a stump is the holy seed. That's what's left after all is said and done, and that's ultimately where God works and where he moves. And Jesus shows us that by his priorities, his choices, that ultimately he would die on a piece of wood because he knew that we, his seed, were out there somewhere. He prayed for us in John 17. Because you are worth it. Now, you may feel like you're just an insignificant little seed in the world. But you're the seed that Jesus died for. You're the seed that he said, it's worth it to me to lose everything. As Paul said in Philippians, he emptied himself to become that stump that would plant that seed that would turn into you and me. And a servant is not greater than his master. And if our servant ended up dying, our master ended up dying deserted, we shouldn't be so surprised if that sometimes happens to us. And sometimes in life, we just feel so alone. He knows. But sometimes that's the best place to be because we become reduced to what really matters. And we won't lose anything that we aren't better off without it. Like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who went into the fire bound hand and foot. And the only thing that was burned in the fire, not even a hair on their head, but the ropes were burned off of them. Everything we lose will just be ropes, things that are holding us back. Ultimately, as we become reduced to not what we expected, but as we become reduced to what's left, we will find him there saying, I get it. We'll find Isaiah there going, yep, I remember, boy, when I thought Hezekiah was going to be my crowning achievement. Ended up my crowning achievement was just a stump. But that stump was the holy seed. That was my stump. That was the stump he has for me. It's one of the keys of contentment, is to realize that you have everything you need. You don't have what you wanted. You don't have what you expected. You don't even have what you used to have. But what you have, that's what he has for you. And actually, it's a lot easier taking care of a stump than it is taking care of a whole tree. So bring it on. And find that place where we can just go, this is it. My life isn't what I thought it was going to be, but it's the life he has given me. And it's seed. It can grow. I can make a difference in other people's lives. That's such a privilege, such a blessing. Now, if you're here today and you've never actually come into a relationship with God at all, he's been working on you. Most of what he's been doing is taking stuff away from you. That's how you'll know he's working in your life, because your life is starting to not pan out. And you're not really connected to God. He feels like he's a long ways away, but life is sure coming unraveled for you. You're losing things that you thought you couldn't live without. And that's just his way of drawing you, reducing you to the point where you realize that what you can have is better than anything you ever dreamed of having. It's a relationship with God. And all you have to do is give him permission. Just tell him, I need you. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need to start my life over. And if you do that, then you, like all the rest of us stumps, will know that what you have is all that matters. And you will be related to the God of the universe who was reduced to a stump so that we could be the seed, the holy seed that he had for us. So if you're feeling like, boy, I'm not much but a stump now, perfect. You'll fit right in. Because all the rest of us, if you strip away all of our delusions and everything, we're pretty much all. It's a room full of stumps here. It's a question of, can you realize that being a stump is enough? That it's a blessing? That it's a good thing?
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to conclude our time together in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's pray. God, it's sometimes hard to hear harsh reality when there are so many people out there who are peddling delusion. It's hard to, when you're feeling like a stump, when it looks like the guy down the street has a big tree. But I thank you that you were willing to be reduced to a stump in order to spread your holy seed through the generations and had some of it just land in our hearts as you've forgiven our sins and given us new life. For the people who don't know you yet, I pray that today they will decide. It's time to stop chasing fantasies and to come home to who they really are in you. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and for being honest with us even when we don't want to hear the truth. And with everything that we've lost in life, friends and relationships and jobs and you name it, when we still have you, we're grateful. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're talking about the fall of Satan tomorrow on The Balanced Word as Dave Rolfe continues through the Bible in stories. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.